Luke chapter 17. Let's take our Bibles if you're not already there. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I want to begin reading in verse number 11. And just want to share a story with you this evening. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 says this, "And it came to pass, as he, speaking of Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Let's pray for just a moment. Father, would you please help me and help us as we look into your word, as we consider this time of year and the reminder that we have to be grateful, to be thankful. And I pray that as we look into this story, that we'll see the truths that are kept here for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thankful means to be aware of the benefits received, or conscious of the benefits that are received. This is one of the definitions of thankfulness is really literally to be glad about something. And that's one of the main definitions that we use for thankfulness. We say, "Oh man, I'm thankful that my team won." All right? We really mean that I'm glad that my team won, right? By the way, I have no idea whether the team won or not. I did watch a little bit. It looked promising. I'm glad my team won. Or man, I'm thankful that we were able to that it stopped raining, you know. Or I'm thankful that my family finally left. They were at our house all Thanksgiving weekend, and I'm thankful they finally left. And we won't have to see them until, whatever. Hopefully that's not the case with you. We had a great time spending time with some family up in Pennsylvania. It was a lot of fun to be able to see them. But oftentimes when we use the word thankful, and we throw it around from time to time, don't we? "I'm thankful that they're not on my team." None of us would ever say that, right? But "I'm thankful" often means I'm glad. Or "I'm happy. I'm happy that this is going well," or this is working out for me. And that's not the type of thankful that we're going to be talking about tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about being conscious or aware of a benefit that's been received. Not just happy that something happened or happy that something worked out, but this is really a matter of perspective. I want to share just a few brief things from this story tonight. And I want us to try to see why it's kept here for us and maybe look at some principles about thankfulness and what they can mean for us today. We just came through Thanksgiving, and many of you have thought about this maybe or talked a little bit about it. Some of you may have some traditions where you, I don't know, maybe you do the kernel of corn thing, and, everybody's got a couple kernels of corn on their plate. Does anybody do that in here? No, nobody does that. All right. It's not superstitious, I promise. But it's sort of remembering, when the Indians and the settlers had their first Thanksgiving, and they had corn and things like that. And so you take one kernel of corn, and for each kernel of corn, you say something you're thankful for, and you go around the table, and everybody's got three or four or five or how many ever. And maybe you spent time doing something like that, where you went around the table or you talked amongst each other and said, "This is something that I'm thankful for." And so one of the things that we look at in the story, the very first thing that we find is that there's a need that's presented, and thankfulness always begins with a need. In verse number 12, we find that as Jesus goes into this village between Samaria and Galilee, some people believe that it was right on the border, he was traveling right on the border of Samaria and Galilee there, that he enters into this village and he meets 10 men that have a huge problem. They have a huge need in their lives. They're lepers. And I don't have to probably explain to you that this is a horrible disease and they're losing parts of their body and it's just something that's caused them to have to live outside of society because of the effects that this disease is having on them. It's a horrible need that they had. And Jesus sees that they have this need and they call out to Jesus asking for help. They lift up their voice in verse 13 and say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Probably having to stand at a certain distance away from Jesus. That's why they're yelling to him. Some people say that this leprosy also affects your vocal cords a little bit, and they maybe could only muster some sort of a harsh whisper or something. Although some people can whisper pretty loud, can't they? Whisper is almost, they say it's harder on your voice sometimes than actual speaking. I used to work in a library, and it was my job to crack down on the whisperers and the talkers. Sometimes whispering, you can hear that for a long distance, right? "I can hear what you're saying." But I don't know exactly how it was, but these 10 guys, these 10 lepers somehow are crying out to Jesus as loudly as they can. They're a certain distance away from him because of the law and prohibited how far they can be from civilization. And Jesus hears them. But I want us to notice that these men started with a need. They had a problem. And some people tonight aren't thankful because they're self-sufficient, or at least they think that they are. That's not how these 10 lepers were. They knew they needed help. They knew that they had needs. And the truth is that all of us have needs. Some of us are willing to humble ourselves enough to ask for help. Some of us aren't. Sometimes we don't want assistance because we don't want to have to show gratitude. We can handle it on our own. We don't want to feel like we owe anyone anything, including simple gratitude. We did it all ourselves. Well, if I ask somebody to help me with it, oh, then I got to thank them for doing it. And I'm just getting easier for me to do it on my own, and I don't have to show any gratitude or any gratefulness to somebody doing it for me. But these men, with their need, knew they needed help, and they knew that they needed to seek it from the right place. And they took their needs to the right person. Jesus has the power to truly help them. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. A huge problem, a huge need, and they realize that they need help. The second thing that we see is the blessing. Look at verse number 14. And when he saw them, Jesus sees them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Now, I'm not sure why it says when he saw them, because they weren't doing jumping jacks maybe or something. What were they doing? What were the lepers doing? They were crying out. You'd imagine that it would say when he heard them. Okay, so I'm not sure if they weren't crying out very loud, or I don't know if it means, quite possibly, probably, that when Jesus heard them, he actually walked over to where they were. He went up to where they were dealing with their situation, as Jesus often did. Many people would be like, oh, stay away, don't get close. And Jesus, of course, had no fear of getting right into people's problems and figuring out right where they were and meeting them exactly where they were. But it says when Jesus saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus gives them these specific instructions. Their healing required faith on the part of the lepers. Go show yourself to the priest. This is something that they had to do once they were cleansed. Back in the Old Testament law, you had to go show yourself to the priest, and you had to do this certain thing for you to be able to be considered clean and then be able to be brought back into society. Okay, it was a thing that you had to do. It was part of the ritual. It was part of what you had to do in order to be accepted back. But it was only after you were healed. What if you were to go to the priest and say, hey, you know, here we go. Oh, leprosy's still here. can you just, you know, okay, I'm going to have to go back out where I was, you know. This required some faith on the leper's part. Jesus' words to the 10 lepers were, go show yourself to the priests. What would you have done? What if you were one of those 10 lepers? You have a huge need. You ask Jesus for help. He tells you what to do, and now you're faced with a decision. Oh, you know, like Naaman, maybe, who was a leper in the Old Testament. He was like, oh, I thought for sure that he was going to, you know, put his hand on it, and it would be healed, and then I would do what I was supposed to do. Or something amazing would happen. But Jesus required a step of faith on these the part of these 10 lepers. And we're not told that there's any hesitation or anything like that. But they look down after they begin their journey. I believe it was probably very instantaneous, and they're healed. Can you imagine looking down, realizing that you're healed? How would you have felt? What would you have done? Can't imagine, but these guys were overwhelmed with joy. Think of the emotions that would have been running through your body. I'm going to be able to see my family again. I'm going to be able to get back, and I'm going to have to go back to work, you know. I don't know what you'd be thinking about, but I don't have to beg for food. I don't have to work. All these great things. This is awesome. Ah, oh, I'm healed. And the 10 of them have already begun their journey to go to the priest because that was what Jesus told them to do. Go show yourself to the priest. Despite God's many blessings, instead of being thankful, you know what you and I tend to do? We tend to focus on what we still don't have. Even after we've been given a great blessing. Turn with me for just a second over to Matthew chapter 18. Look at Matthew chapter 18 for just a moment. I want to look at the story that Jesus tells. He's talking about forgiveness. And Peter asks him a question. How many times should I, you know, forgive my brother? Till 7 times. And Jesus says, you know, no. You know, till 70 times 7. In other words, any time that he comes to you and asks for forgiveness, you need to be forgiving him. And then Jesus launches into this story. In Matthew chapter 18, verse number 23, and he says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Okay, probably millions of dollars, a large amount of money. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, verse 28 says, and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. His fellow servant fell down to his feet and besought him, saying, sounds familiar response, right? Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Kind of a direct quote. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And we understand the point of Jesus' story talking about forgiveness, but isn't that how we are oftentimes? We need something in our lives. We're asking God for something. I have this huge problem. God, can you please, whatever it is, fill in the blank, and then it happens. And then what's the very next thing we're doing? All right, I just got this great, ooh, how much more money can I get? Hey, let's see what else we can do over here to make this better. And he immediately goes to somebody who owes him a little bit of money. Now, the theme of the story is talking about forgiveness, but what was the servant lacking? There was no thankfulness, was there, at all? There was no gratitude. If he would have been thankful or grateful for the great debt that was forgiven to him, there's no way that he would have acted the way that he did. And the servants that were around him in Jesus' story understood and said, we thought that he would have been, and they went and told the Lord, and he said, wait, we're going to reverse what we just did earlier. But oftentimes that's how we are, but that's maybe that's how these 10 lepers were. I don't know. I'm not sure if they were heading to the temple and nothing was going to deter them because Jesus told them to go to the temple, or if some of them were thinking, oh, finally, I've had this leprosy for so long, and I never deserved to have this leprosy in the first place. And I never asked for this leprosy. And in fact, I should have never had this leprosy. And why wasn't it taken away from me sooner? All right, great. Let's go to the temple and let's get this thing taken care of. Oftentimes when something good happens to us, we forget to pause. Many blessings that we receive on a regular basis, but do we even recognize them? Because we forget to thank God for them or we forget to appreciate them. And I want to see next the exception. Look at verse number 15, back in Luke chapter 17. Look at verse number 15. Not only the need and the blessing, but thirdly, the exception. And this is the great part of the story. Look at verse number 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, all of them looked out. Can you imagine? They all looked down and saw that they were healed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. See, being thankful isn't something that comes naturally. Thank you is something we're trying to teach Elsa. But it's a lot harder than the word no. The word no, for some reason, is one of the easiest things for her to say. Elsa, would you? No. She's getting quite good at it. Even if she means yes, she's really happy with her word no at this point. It's pretty easy. But to say thank you, to remember to say thank you, that's something that it's not easy for us. It's not normal for us to say, oh, thank you for that. Oh, thank you for that. Oh, thank you for that. We're normally just doing what we're doing. And people should do those things for us. Being thankful isn't something that comes naturally. Notice that people of faith can be unthankful. These 10 lepers had all acted in faith, and yet only one of them came back to be thankful. All 10 lepers believed Jesus' words, and they began the journey to the priests while they still had the disease. These were people of faith. Are only 10% of people thankful? Does this hold true today? Is this how it works? Is this the message of the story? 1 in 10 people. All right, so we've got 112 people here tonight. Great thing, we've got 11 and a half thankful people in the room, or whatever. Is this what it is? Is this how hard it is to find thankful people? Notice that Jesus highlights the fact that only one came back. Look at verse number 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Well, what's the answer? Well, yes. And he says, but where are the 9? No answer to that question. Well, it just happened. Jesus, why? Jesus specifically draws attention to the fact. Wait, weren't there 10 people that just got healed? Where are the other 9? Jesus highlighted the fact that this man was the exception. This was not the rule. The other nine lepers didn't contribute to the praise song of this one thankful leper. It's interesting, when I'm thankful to God, it brings honor and praise to God. When I have a thankful spirit, it's a way for me in my life to lift God up, to praise Him, to give Him worship when I'm thankful. Notice, he was a Samaritan. That's another detail we're told about this man. Perhaps he didn't expect or feel entitled to it. Maybe he was just thankful that Jesus spent the time to talk to them for a moment, and getting healed was just an amazing byproduct of that. Maybe he wasn't one of the ones screaming, "Hey, come heal us, come on." Maybe he was just there and I'm healed, I can't even believe it. Maybe he didn't expect it to happen. Maybe sometimes we're not thankful because we expect more things to happen, that we anticipate things should go better than they actually do. So what was different about this man? What was different about this leper? Lastly, tonight, I want to look at the secret. What was different about him? How was he able to be thankful? He was just like the other 10, right? 10 guys. They all had the exact same need. They all got the exact same blessing. They all lost their leprosy. I want to submit to you tonight this, that getting healed did not make him thankful. He was already a thankful person. What happened to him, getting healed, simply revealed what was already on the inside. And it's interesting in our lives, the things that happen to us, good and bad, simply reveal what we already have put into the inside of our lives. The secret to being thankful, you might say, you know, I know the secret. Here's the secret. Just have a bunch of great things, a bunch of good things happen to you. You know, just, I mean, a long string of amazing things happen. Just write out the list, right? What, I don't know. Any of you guys write Christmas lists? I don't know if any of you do that still. Okay, maybe you're, you know, I don't know. Huge, long list, you know. And, all those things happen, okay? Oh, it'd be easy to be thankful there. You know, that's the secret to being thankful. Everything goes well. The job's going great. The family's going well. We got great health. Everything at church is awesome. We just won $1 million, I don't know, whatever it might be. It's amazing. Everything's going great. It's so easy to be thankful. That's the secret to being thankful. Have a bunch of good stuff happen to you, and it's easy. Habakkuk 3:17 and 19 is an interesting take on that. I'll just read it to you. It's at the very end of this book, sort of in song format. And here's what verses 17 through 19 say. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Bad thing after 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 bad thing. And he ends the book by saying, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, and basically ascribes it to a song at the very end of this book. Doesn't sound like good thing after good thing after good thing. It reminds me of what happened to Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. He writes about himself, and lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, a need, yes, a huge need. For this thing, I besought the Lord, how many times? Thrice, right? Three times. That it might depart from me. Just like the lepers, asking for a need. Hey, can you take this away from me? And he said unto me, the short answer was no. Here's his answer. God's answer to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Ugh. Guess I can't be thankful for that. Guess that's one of the things that I can't be thankful for. I mean, I can be thankful for the answers to prayer that I want, the way that they go. And Paul turns it around and he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Sounds like attributing some praise to God in this dark part of his life. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So what is the secret? How do I get thankfulness on the inside? I'm not talking about a surface Thanksgiving thankfulness. You guys know what surface thankfulness is, right? It's when you tell your kid, say thank you. right? We've all done that. I've done it. And it doesn't work out very well for me lately because we're still working on the English language a little bit. But say thank you, you know, say thank you. And that's really genuine, isn't it? And it's just heartfelt from the kid's heart. You know, you can just tell that they were planning on it the whole time. And then, well, mom jumped in too soon, you know, and just said, say thank you. And I was planning to do it the whole time. But that's not very genuine, is it? It's not very heartfelt. It's a little bit like going around the table and, well, I guess I got to say something. I got to be thankful for at this point. And so I'm going to say something. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about not just a surface Thanksgiving thankfulness, but thankfulness on the inside. Just a couple things that I'll leave you with this. First of all, slow down. Every once in a while, when I am on, I'm trying to remember what road it is. I think it's Sharon Road. How many of you have been up, Tivola Road? Anybody up been up there, Tivola Road, off 77 there? You're headed to maybe South Park Mall or something like that. And some of those streets, they're really, people are just flying by them, and there's not a lot of whole lot of room, and there's no middle lane. And at one of those areas, there's a radar sign. You know what I'm talking about? You come around the bend, and I don't know what's going on with those signs because they're always blinking at you, even if you're going under the speed limit, right? You know, here's your speed, and it's probably the last guy or the guy in front of you. But it's a radar, and it's trying to get you, typically, it's trying to get you to slow down. It's telling you, you're going too fast, you know, slow down a little bit. And that's the first thing that we need to figure out about this whole thankfulness thing. Thankfulness takes time and effort. The leper needed to stop his forward progress, go back to Jesus, and say thank you. He was already on his way to the temple. It was inconvenient. And maybe he could tell himself, I'm really following Jesus' words. You know, I'll take care of this later. You know, me and the other nine guys, we're going. Jesus told us it was inconvenient for him. He had to take the initiative. He had to stop in what he was going to do with his life, turn around and spend time. It took time and it took effort for him. It took work. It required a change in his direction. And worship and thankfulness take time and effort. And you are no stranger to that. Here you are on a Sunday night worshiping God. Oh, it's just, you know, I have all kinds of time. Well, none of you probably would say that. Time is precious. It's a commodity that you have. And you've taken time to be here to worship. It takes time. It takes effort to worship. And it should be that way, shouldn't it? Reminds me of when David said, listen, I'm going to pay for this sacrifice. I'm not going to offer something to God that didn't cost me anything. It costs. It's not a free thing. Now, we don't charge people to walk in the doors, and that's not what we're supposed to do. But you've given of yourself. You've given of your time. You've given of your talent. You've given. Many of you contribute financially. This is something that you realize that worship is a thing that takes time, and it takes effort. It requires work. Sometimes I'm not going to say me because this is really talking about me, but sometimes we are so list-driven, so progress-focused that we fail to appreciate the good gifts that God gives to us. We're always looking to complete the next goal. We're always looking for the, okay, God told me to get you, all right, I'm going to do this, all right, what's the next thing? And this man made the right decision by stopping and going back to Jesus and simply saying, thank you, and worshiping him for just a moment. The second thing is, not only do I need to slow down, but the second thing I need to do is check attitude. I don't know if any of you have your check engine light on right now, but that's not a fun place to be, is it? How many of you have experienced a check engine light? Yeah, it can be sometimes very nagging and coming back and you don't know what it is, and is it a seatbelt sensor? Is it, you know, your engine's about to blow up and you have no oil in it? I have no idea what it could be. A million different things, but nobody likes to turn on their car and it's, you know, if you have a guest with you in the car, they're like, oh, is that okay? And you're like, yeah, it's just my car. It's this way all the time. You know, check engine light is the way I live my life. But a check engine light, it's something requires maintenance. It's something, I'm supposed to do something about that light. And we need to check our attitudes when it comes to this thing of thankfulness. Thankfulness is difficult because it requires humility. Pride and thankfulness cannot coexist. Pride is self-sufficient. I didn't need any help doing that anyway. You know what? They helped me out with it, but I could have done it better myself anyway. So pride is very self-sufficient. Thankfulness requires that I acknowledge the benefits and value I've received from someone outside of myself. I may need to root out some attitudes in my life, but many of us are too busy nursing these attitudes. Things like entitlement. I deserve better than this leprosy. I have no idea why I'm sitting here on the side of the road having to call out to somebody to heal me because I've got leprosy. I deserve much better than this. Life has dealt me a bad hand of cards. Things should be better. And they were better at some point in my life. And then this happened, and then this person, and then all. In fact, people owe me. God owes me. Entitlement. Sometimes we're too busy nursing the attitude of bitterness. It's about time that I finally get rid of this leprosy. Should have been gone years ago. Should have not had this problem in the first place, and then I've had to have it for so long. These attitudes need to go if I'm able to have an attitude of thankfulness. The attitude of pride, I don't know anyone anything. They need to be replaced with an attitude of gratitude, an internal feeling that says, I'm already getting better than I deserve. This is already something that's much better than I actually ever deserve. That's a phrase that we hear around here from time to time. But it's something that, if we're not careful, we just breeze past it without thinking about it. What does it mean? Pastor says it from time to time. And if I'm not careful, I just say, oh, okay, yeah, hi. That's his greeting, you know. But what, better than I deserve? Gratitude says that I'm already getting things better than I deserve them. And it's true. Contentment. This is an attitude that needs to be replaced in my life. This is not something that I just wake up one morning and I have it. In Philippians 4:11, Paul said that I've learned in whatsoever state I am, there to be content. This is something that somehow, for Paul, came with maturity and came with spiritual maturity in his life. And then the third attitude is an attitude of humility. And this is a choice. James 4:10, we're told to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You see, thankful is not something you say or do. Thankful is something that you are. It is not an activity. It is an identity. It is not just an action. It is an attitude. It is not the response of the fortunate few to all the amazingly awesome things that happen to them all the time. It is the mature perspective of a believer who trusts in the perfect plan and provision of God. And the story ends really interestingly. Just look at verse 19 for just a moment. Look what happens. It's really a neat thing that happens at the end of the story. Jesus in verse 18 says, "There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger." Verse 19, "And he said unto him," Jesus speaks to this man directly now, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." That's a pretty neat end of the story. We don't know exactly what that means. We don't know if the man was, we know the man was physically healed earlier. We don't know if this means that the man came to faith in Christ through at this point. We're not sure exactly, but that's a pretty neat thing, a pretty amazing end of the story. Did the other 9 lepers get that personal interaction with Jesus? Did they get this extra blessing or this extra thing that happened? No. No, they weren't there for it. When I learn the secret of thankfulness, it can actually bring further unexpected blessings in my life. So are you thankful? I'm not asking if you remember to write a thank you note for a gift received, or if you remember to say thank you when someone did something nice for you, but are you a thankful person? Maybe you could just start and end every day. This has been something I've been thinking about. Thanking God for something. Thank you for, fill in the blank, my health, my family, your love and care for me, a day off from school or work, thankful for my job. Not a mindless habit, but a moment to pause. And not just to say thankful, not just to say thank you, but to think about the gifts that God gives to us. Let's stand together as we pray. Father, this is something that we focused on this last week as a nation. And Lord, would you help this to be something that we focus on our lives? Would you help me to be a thankful person so that when life happens, good or bad, I respond in thankfulness? In Jesus' name.